Hey, everybody. Welcome to Shop Talk Show. Thanks for joining us. We have two quick sponsors this week. One is Environments for Humans that do lots of cool online conferences as well as in-person conferences, and Harvest.com, time tracking for people. We'll talk about both of those a little later in the episode, but for now, let's kick things off.
Listening to episode 31 of the Shop Talk Show podcast, a podcast about front-end web design and development. But this is a very exciting episode because it's episode 1 of season 2. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris Coyer.
Hi, everybody. And we have a great guest, Matt Mullenweg, is on. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Yay. Matt has one of the coolest domains on the internet. It's just his name, but it's ma.tt, right?
Yep.
What is TT? Where does that, is it like?
Ah, it's so funny. It's Trinidad and Tobago, which is also.
They just like got together and like, let's just share one.
And it was unregistered. Like, I didn't have to buy it from anyone or anything. Just, it's a real pain in the butt to register anything with Trinidad and Tobago. And so. Now, literally, I had to go to the bank and wire money over there. And
really?
Yeah, the bank people didn't want to let me do it. They're like, are you sure you're wiring like $1,000 to this bank in Venezuela? I was like, oh, it's fine. It's on the internet.
It's fine. Yeah, we tried to get shopta.lk, and it just was a flop. We didn't do it. Get very far. Anyway, I just think it's so cool because I don't know. I watch some like competitive StarCraft gaming on YouTube fairly often, and TT in that, like when they're like, it's, I'm sure it transcends that, but like the capital TT means like two eyes and they're crying and the you know, it's like the water streaming out of the T's, but two lowercase T's is like two little arms flicking off the screen. It's like if you're mad and you quit out of a StarCraft game, you go TT and you go out like, screw you. Anyway,
you learn something new every day.
Two little T's. Okay. So season two. Dave, do you want to, for those who've been listening to Shop Talk Show for a while, we have a brand new website design. If you're only listening to the podcast, you should come see it because it's very nice. Dave, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, we've been preparing for season two, ready to launch it and just kind of refresh the brand a bit. Reagan Ray, our chief broadcaster / button pusher here on the Shop Talk Show, helped us out with the logo and branding. And it's awesome. I love it. And then he also helped us out with the website. I think, Chris, you and I like tag teamed it pretty well. And then Reagan kind of put the polish on it. And then Trent Walton also helped kind of QA things and make sure everything was good. But yeah, new website. We're excited to have it. So thanks, everyone, for all your kind comments on Twitter. That was really nice of you. Yeah, and
it's a good day. I felt good that day. Everybody was so excited about it.
Segway, it's ask built on WordPress.
You know it.
I like how you have the Texas for the central time. It's very cool.
I call it Texas Standard Time. That's my point of view in life. But
so they're all standard. In the United States, it's Eastern Standard Time, Mountain Standard Time, Central Standard Time, and whatever, Pacific. Well, did I name all four of them? But then there's BST, which is Britain. I was like, it's probably just British Standard Time, right? But it's not. It's called British Summer Time, which is nice, isn't it?
There's not just EST and CST. There's also Central Daylight Time, Eastern Daylight Time.
When it changes?
Yes. So technically, for part of the year, it's EDT, CDT.
That's so confusing.
I like
something new every day.
The images exactly. States.
Yeah, those little icons.
Graphics.
So we have a lot of question and answer. Lots of people sent in your questions for Matt specifically and just stuff about WordPress. And we dug through our archives and found some of the most interesting ones about WordPress. We're going to get to those in a second. But we always do the, first of all, Dave might have something for us. And second of all, we have some hot drama. So
Yeah, I have a question to start things off with, and this is actually a question from my wife, but she was asking me, hey, Dave, what HTML pre-processing language does Luke Skywalker use?
Uh-oh.
Mark Hamill. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
Okay. Oh, my wife made that up.
Wow. She didn't realize you had to bring your own sound effects to this show.
Oh, well, we are a sound effects podcast that also talks about web development to some degree. So.
Did we do introductions?
Not quite yet.
I mean, we should be. I mean, we got to introduce you mostly. I mean, people. I feel like so. You're just so. Aren't you above introductions? Maybe not. So tell us. Let's do a little bit about the. Who are you, Matt? The CEO of, or is that right? What do you even say? But WordPress.
There you go. My name is Matt Mullenweg, and I'm the co-founder of WordPress. A little over 9 years ago, I co-founded it with Mike Little, who's living in England. And I'm the founder of Automattic, which is a company that builds all sorts of cool services around WordPress, from WordPress.com, Gizmod Anti-Spam, Jetpack, FaultPress, all the good stuff.
Gravatar,
yeah.
Cool. So you call yourself a co-founder, right? Because it was you and this other fella. Is he still active in the WordPress community? Or?
He is. He does mostly consulting these days. But it was definitely that, because I was blogging about it, and Mike left a comment on my blog and said, hey, if you're serious about this, let's work on it together. And that was really the – and it's true in everything I've done in life. All the best things I've worked on have always been with other folks and with the team.
Yeah, totally. That's great. Me too. 9 years, though, huh? That's the number.
I'm feeling old. I'm on the Big Ten.
Yeah,
it's like 90 nice. Internet years.
You should have a big, awesome birthday party for it. I'm sure you will. What am I saying?
Okay. Parties, yeah. By the way, Chris, thank you so much for speaking at WordCamp San Francisco a few weeks ago. It was a very well-received talk.
I loved it. That was great. And me and Matt got a chance to talk a little bit before it about it, and Matt gave me some great notes on making my talk better. So if you liked it, that was mostly Matt anyway. So. let's do some Q&A. There's some good ones in here too. I think you're gonna like it. This is what you do a lot, though. You do a good bit of traveling and going to WordCamps and stuff. You spend a lot of time talking about WordPress, I suppose. Huh?
And you know what? I love it. People sometimes come up and they're like, "Oh, I'm sure you don't want to talk about WordPress," but actually, I do. It's kind of my thing.
Good. That crossed my mind a little bit. I'm like, should we barrage him with WordPress questions, or does Matt want to talk about something else? We're like, it sounds like he likes, but that's good to know that.
Bring it on.
Okay. We're trying to switch over to a lot of audio questions. We have to start out here. We have a few that were just written into us, so I'll just read them aloud. We have one here from Greg Price. Greg Price says, my sister-in-law has been blogging with Blogger for a few years now and is hoping to switch to WordPress in the near future. She told me from some of her blogging friends that monthly page views will increase significantly switching to WordPress. Are there advantages to WordPress that as a platform that would influence analytics or organic search in this way? He's just kind of saying, like, is it kind of free? You know, would you switching to WordPress, is it better SEO wise or anything like that? What do you think?
Yeah, I think people who use WordPress are better looking. They can jump higher, run faster. I will personally reload your site many times to drive up the pages. Probably. It's kind of funny, actually, because even though Blogger is owned by Google, WordPress is perceived in the community to have better SEO. And I've heard, I don't think there's any hard data around this, but I've certainly heard a story like that dozens, if not hundreds of times, where people say they switched over and their traffic just started going up. I think some of that, if you're going to attribute to anything, perhaps, you know, many of the WordPress themes and all of our default ones use very clean, modern, semantic HTML. We encourage people to, you know, blog and update more, have clean navigation, just sort of all the things that make a good web page. And also when you come to a WordPress site, you know what to do, right? You never get confused. Yeah. Some combination of those things probably makes it a bit more user-friendly than, say, the average blogger template or something like that. And that's what I would personally attribute that to. Although, I don't want to reveal our secret deal with Google on this show.
Well, I'm sure whatever secret deal you have with Google isn't as good as their own blogging. Their own blogging.
On that note, I mean, I use the internet every day, and it's still difficult for me to leave a comment on a blogger blog. That's not to say I'm hating on it, but every time I try to leave a comment on a blogger, it's like, do you want to log in with your 20-year-old blogger account?
Yeah, it's weird, like, and it does that pop-up window thing. That's where you comment. Oh, it's the worst.
Blogger still has an amazing amount of creativity and people using it. But it's also really easy to switch to WordPress. We have one-click importers. Man, if Google ever gave up Blogger, I would totally take it over. Like, that would be so cool. Because there is still a lot of cool stuff happening there, and it's millions and millions of publishers. I think, honestly, they deserve a better platform.
Heck yeah. That's your driving force, isn't it? I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but democratizing publishing, whatever. That's the important stuff, right? It's giving people the tools they need to write and be heard. And
that's the idea. And it's with the assumption that with more people publishing, with more people having their own home on the web, the world becomes just a little bit of a better place.
Heck yeah, it does. We got to get more people internet access too, faster.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's harder indeed. You got one, doing a new one, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I can. Let me jump to the next question. This one's from John Stevie, a frequent questioner on the show. He's asking, I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for having a members-only section in WordPress that would be secure enough to store social security numbers and stuff like that. Matt, I guess we'll start with Matt. You would probably know first off with all the information you guys get, but...
I would say if you're storing something like social security numbers or credit card numbers, you definitely want to give that a lot of thought. And that should be something probably on its own server. I think there's PCI compliance stuff there. You want to encrypt it and have the key stored on a different server. I mean, it's not a hard problem in that you don't have to reinvent the wheel there. There's lots of, if you Google around, there's lots of people telling you how to do that securely. But I also just wouldn't put it behind, a members-only WordPress plugin.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't just, add a field. Well, when you sign up, just add an extra text area for social security number. And, that's a little scary, right?
But we definitely, in my own life, I use lots of WordPress installs for sensitive things. That they're not, I don't think, have the legal requirement of social security numbers, but I'd be embarrassed if it got out, all my... my water bill and stuff like that. I manage all that through a WordPress install.
Do you really? How does, like just to track it for accounting reasons and stuff?
Yeah, I just have a domestic blog. Like all the bills I pay, stuff I need to do around the house.
That's awesome. Light bulbs. Is there some cool theme? Really?
I use the P2 theme, actually.
Oh, really?
I like P2.
But the things you can do to secure that are probably generally useful for anyone using WordPress. So I actually do use a plugin called Members Only to make it only registered people can be on the blog. I turn off registration. I put a robots.txt so it's not indexed anywhere. You can use Google Authenticator. So you have two-factor authentications. When people log in, they need to know the password and some special code, kind of like many people use with their bank. Have secure passwords, of course. And
that's a vault.
Finally, you can, if you want, you can put HTTP HT access on it as well. So you have sort of a third layer of protection. But, you don't have to be entirely that paranoid. But some combination of those things will keep it away from the general web.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, upgrade your WordPress.
Have you heard a lot of people using WordPress for PCI compliance stuff? Or does that happen often, do you think?
Oh, so PCI compliance has less to do with WordPress, the software, and more with how the access and the server is configured. So a lot of that compliance is going to happen at a different level. I mean, you could put anything behind the proper access controls and configure it in the proper way, and it would be PCI compliant. Yep.
True. Cool.
Mm,
Well, John,
Claudia,
I was going to ask you, Chris, you're working on a members section for your Kickstarter thing.
You know what? I'm going to use a WordPress plugin too. I'm going to use, you know, that guy Pippin's plugins. He has a plugin for membership too, and it looks good for me. And it's integrated with PayPal. So like, I'm not storing credit card numbers. I'm not storing anything sensitive. You know, it temporarily goes through my site, but I don't store anything. So I'm pretty sure I don't need PCI compliance, right? It's kind of the people that want to keep that credit card number in their own database for whatever reason, in case they want to move it or something. Like this was a, like, kind of a big deal back in early WooFoo days. Like I think we used authorized.net like way early, and like they don't, if all of a sudden that were to go under, your access were to be cut off, it's just too bad. It's like you're screwed. You can't rebill ever. So, but like then there's new guys like Stripe. Stripe is, I think they're in San Francisco, right? And they say, if you want to move away from us at some point, we'll give you all that stuff. We'll store it for you for now, so you don't have to worry about PCI compliance. But if you move, we'll give you that stuff. And that's rad. Stripe is cool.
I forgot one easy but important thing you should do, which is have an SSL certificate for your website.
Yes.
A lot of web hosts make that easier. Even GoDaddy and Dreamhost now make it pretty easy to add one.
Yeah, some kind of like click and charges you a few bucks and just puts one on there for you.
Well, they charge you a lot. It'll be like $100, but same idea.
Yeah. All right, Claudia Dwer, Dwer, asks, can you recommend a blank theme for WordPress? So this is, you know, we're talking about WordPress.org now, like kind of build your own theme stuff. At some point, I followed a link from Chris's blank theme to this one. Tim Murtaugh has a file, I think it's Tim, Mr. Murtaugh has a file called the HTML5 Reset WordPress Theme, where he made an HTML5 reset and then made it into a WordPress theme. So I'm just giving a little background to this. I used to have a blank theme that I maintained back when I was building a lot of WordPress sites, and then it kind of went out of date. And in my old blog post, I'm like, this guy's keeping his up to date, so use this. And now that's starting to look a little out of date. So I think Claudette here is just asking, like, what's a good theme to, you know, it's... You could take 2010 or 2011 or 2012 or whatever and use that as a base, but it's kind of, there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of design in there. Sometimes it's easier to start from something that's a little more stripped down, and Claudette is asking, what's a good theme for that we can recommend to her?
Yeah, and actually, we've just been promoting something we call the Underscores theme. Yes. So if you go to underscores.me, underscores me, or if you Google, if you go to themeshaper.com, which is sort of the official automatic theme team, they call it the 1,000-hour head start. It's basically a theme designed not to have children themes, but to actually be sort of copied and pasted and used as your own starter theme. And it just does all the good stuff, all the stuff you want, none of the stuff you don't. Same great taste, not as filling.
Right, literally the underscore S is the logo on the page. Yeah, I haven't actually used it, but these are, you know, there's some. Ian Stewart has been on the show, and it looks like he's I don't know if he headed it up exactly. Well, on the website, when you go, you can roll over all the people's faces that contributed to the theme. It looks like Ian has the most contribution, so we all know he's a smart cookie.
Yeah, and actually, that's pulled live from GitHub. So anyone who wants to get involved with this theme, your face will start showing up there soon as you do. Yeah.
Oh, I want to contribute just so I can get my face up.
Yeah, I'm just going to start making stuff up.
That's the idea.
I've actually used underscores, and it's top-notch. So Claudette, I would highly recommend it, because it's – like you said, Matt, it just makes everything – it's everything you probably need and you're going to need to get to at some point. All right there in just a nice little bundle.
Is that where you got the template for our theme options on shopdocshow.com?
Well, no, I don't even... I think I got those from Ian Stewart's blog. So just a little copy and paste work. But yeah.
Cool. So that's the one to use. This is from Automatic People. I'm so glad that you guys did this, because it's kind of like there was some blank themes kind of rolling around in there. I dabbled in it, but I kind of fell out of updating it anymore, and I was like kind of recommending people not use it. It's nice that there's one that's actually from people that will probably keep it up to date.
Well, and also if you look, about half of the people on the contributor list are not from Automatic. So I'm very excited that the community, broader community, started to get involved with this as well.
Yeah, totally. One of our sponsors this week is Harvest, getharvest.com. They do time tracking. It's a nice web app. One of the most innovative teams. Their customers include Happy Cog, Kiva, Volkswagen, tons of big people, right? So if you do client work, I'm sure there's a lot of people that do freelance WordPress work, kind of tracking your time and making sure you know how much time you spent so that you can bill for it. You can use Harvest for that. They have Mac apps, they have phone apps, lots of great features. It's really, and then you invoice for the time that you spent. It's just a nice looking interface too. Highly recommend using Git Harvest. They have they gave us a code. You can use just enter the code ShopTalk and you get 50% off your first month or 10% off if you buy the whole year, which ends up being kind of a bigger savings if you go for the whole year. But we're a big fan. Thanks for sponsoring Harvest.
Yeah.
No. Isn't your normal sponsor don't you normally have Squarespace?
Yeah, they're going every other.
So. Oh, okay. So, I was like, that would be kind of funny if I'm on the show and it's Squarespace sponsoring.
I would have done it.
I would have been fine with it too. Just
There's a lot of interesting like Squarespace. Should I use Squarespace? Should I use WordPress? Just sort of decisions you have to make as a web developer. But I assume Matt, you would probably always err on the side of WordPress.
Well, I'm biased.
Yeah, you're
but
completely
I think
biased.
It's a very cool company. They actually have the guy who designed, do you remember the Kubrick theme?
Yeah.
The one with the blue header WordPress used to use? Michael Heilman. He's at Squarespace now, so they have some pretty legit folks there. And also, it seems like every podcast I listen to, they're supporting, so I applaud them for that.
Oh, they are everywhere. Thanks, guys. I like the idea of I don't know. Let's save our Squarespace talk
for what they actually sponsor. We should get on that. We just don't really have any marketing people. I wouldn't even know how to start doing that.
Oh, well, I know of one podcast that I'd love to have you.
Yeah, we're cutting deals too. It's like just one.
We just get a lot of questions
episode.
About WordPress, so I like to get WordPress people on. We have Alex King on, I think, in a couple weeks. I usually don't like to preview guests because sometimes it doesn't work out, but I'm pretty sure he's in. So anyway, I like it because we cater to the audience, and the audience wants WordPress. Let's do another question. We got an audio question here by Dennis.
Dennis Gable, here we go.
Currently, the WordPress Codex links developers to a theme unit test from January 17th, 2011. This particular theme unit unfortunately contains a few errors. My questions are, one, where can developers go for an updated theme unit test for 2012? Two, where can developers contribute to the theme unit? And lastly, three, is there a GitHub repo floating around for the theme unit I'm not aware of? Thanks, Matt.
Okay, so just...
I don't even know what the theme unit test is, so maybe we should start with that.
Huh? Yeah. So, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but the theme unit test is, if you're going to submit a theme to WordPress, the Extend site, you have to test it with this theme, and it has like kind of these ideal or not so ideal posts that your theme has to be tolerant against. And I really like it. I think it's really cool. I'm not aware of the problems exactly that Dennis has, but Matt, maybe you know a bit more about it.
Well, I think he might be referring to something separate, which is the WordPress unit test framework. So there's been a big... You guys know about unit tests, the idea that you have sort of code that's automatically tested and you can run all the tests every time you make an update to sort of catching regressions. That's kind of a really nascent effort in WordPress. And if you want to get involved with it, the place to go is make.wordpress.org, which is kind of a new portal we have for contributing to all different ways to get involved with WordPress. And if you go to /themes there is the theme review team and all the folks working on that. That would be where to go to get involved. I think that's separate from what you were talking about, which is the theme test tool, for lack of a better name. It probably has a real name, but basically when you upload the theme, we run all these things on it. That is also open source, and I'm not sure exactly where the code for that is, but I can follow up on that. Do you guys post show notes or anything like that?
Totally, yep.
We sure do, yeah.
Just
okay.
Well, DM me or whatever, and I'll put the link in there for that.
I'll take a note there, and we'll answer that after the show.
Dennis is in the chat, and he says it's missing some, like, media objects and contains dead links and stuff like that. But maybe that's, you know, maybe there's a bug repo he can file against there.
No.
I got to think there is
we'll
one,
take
right?
care of that just for you.
Okay. Perfect. Yay. There you go. You asked, and you got action, man.
We have one from a young guy here that I think is kind of – I like questions here from the we get a good amount of this. I get a good amount of NCS's tricks too. I think the average web developer these days is getting younger. It's from Alice Rodriguez, who says, "Hey guys, I'm Alice Rodriguez, a 14-year-old web developer from the UK. I've been in the web world for 2 years now, and when he was 12, I started thinking about what path to take. I originally went with back-end stuff, and I started learning .NET, and then I found WordPress, and I began learning PHP. Then I moved more into some front-end stuff and started learning JavaScript, and now he says he feels really lost with all the technologies out there. Do you suggest something that I should focus solely on?" And he says, "I mean, Ruby looks good, right?" So Alex has been bouncing around a lot with what he looks like. Do we have somewhere that we could point him? What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think the most beautiful thing about learning the program is there's a set of fundamental concepts, sort of a grammar, if you will, that's actually applicable across any number of languages that you decide to tackle. If I were going to recommend someone spend time studying one these days, I'd probably recommend JavaScript, both because of its practical usage in modern web frameworks. It's high demand from people. We need more and more. Certainly at Automatic, we're hiring as many JavaScript people as we can get. And then B, JavaScript is actually a beautiful language that supports some very, it's a good language from many points of view. Beyond that, I would say what you should adopt is just pragmatic for whatever you're doing. I mean, if you were doing a massively parallel, you know, real-time server, I'd recommend Node or Erlang. If you're doing a web application like WordPress that you want to be distributed across, you know, millions of web hosts, running on all the random $3 a month people in the world, I would recommend PHP for that because it's just got the distribution.
Yep. That's cool. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our normal theme for questions like this, which is kind of this just build websites, because it's kind of like we're yeah. It's kind of that, like, learn what you need to build the thing that you want to build. And you might be young enough to the point, Alex, where learning some fundamentals and messing around with little stuff is more your jam right now. But if you get an idea to build something, you have this strong idea, kind of look around and learn what you need in which to build that website.
Matt, I was going to ask, do you still code, like, in your position? I know you started building WordPress when you were like a young gun as well, and obviously you chose PHP for that, but are you still touching code? Do you still find yourself, you know, getting into it now that you have like this company of 100 some people?
I do. I wouldn't say that I get paid for it. It's not like my biggest, it's not my most productive contribution. But I actually find coding very relaxing and very – well, there's something about it. I mean, this is an awesome show because you're essentially – it's you guys as the show host and the audience. I mean, we're web craftsmen. Like, you're passionate about building the web. And that's kind of beautiful. I think it's beautiful. Oh, do you remember – you hear about artists, like people who learn to draw, and they start to see the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. Or musicians start to hear different things in, you know, all the music they hear. Or when you get to a certain point, you could even hear tones or pitches of, like, engines when you're flying. It's the same thing with the web. You know, as soon as I first learned to make websites, just the idea that you can right-click on any web page and, like, turn over the web page and there's this magical world of markup behind it, blew my mind. It was like it was like the Matrix, right? Like, wow, everything I look at in my browser, I can flip it over and see what's under the hood. And that's incredibly powerful. And it just, you start to look at the web in a different way. Chris, I saw you tweeted the other day, someone did like a fully responsive CSS-only MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Free freaking totally. Cool.
With one element. Yeah, that was a big deal. It was a big deal for us on CodePen because it was a little web app I work on about it's kind of like JS. Wow, whatever. I'm not going to give you the whole rundown of it, but it hit 100,000 views. That really hit a nerve with some people.
But that's the idea, that you can sort of flip over the web and see what's under the hood and learn from it. And that's actually one of my favorite things about WordPress as well, is that the community it's so entrenched in the community to share your code and to share your work, that pretty much any website, you can email them, be like, what plugins are you using? You can look at the theme. You can do a lot of stuff and learn from it. And that, I don't know, there's not that many opportunities.
Yeah, I can relate in a big way. Literally, the first websites I ever worked on were WordPress. Like, literally, it's the software that got me into the web at all. And it was kind of like it was just so easy that you could just download some, buy a domain name, buy some hosting, throw up these files on it, and have this website that like you can blog on and stuff. And then you could pick a theme and just install it. And I was like, oh, this is so powerful. And like, what if I want to change it a little bit? And I opened up a CSS file for the first time and was like, oh, I see. It just says color red. I can just change it to color dark red and change the color. And it's an eye-opening experience. You're like, man, I now control everything.
Well, you become not just a consumer of the web, but a producer of the web. And that's really important. And to bring it back to the original question, I mean, I learned to code while building WordPress. Like, it was very much on-the-job thing. Because there weren't really any classes or anything, at least available to me, that would teach you all the things that became important for creating this web software that's used by a good chunk of the internet. And so I learned from doing it, like you said earlier, and from working with people who were really brilliant and sort of watching them, watching their code, watching their changes. So getting back to that really, really relaxes me, because it's, you're building something with your hands. You're sitting down, you're using your hands, and at the end of it, there's something you can show people and say, I made that. And that just feels good.
So cool.
Hopefully that answers your question, Alex. It's really cool. It's what you're saying. You can just view source. I mean, if I want to know how to write an app that serves millions of page views, I can just download WordPress and study the code, So I think in what you're saying, all those principles across all the languages ever will probably be the same. It just looks a little different.
Totally. There's variables, there's mathematics, there's loops, there's logic, if thens, all that type of stuff is present in every language.
Well, cool.
Alex, cool. Good question. Let's do one more. We're going to do several more, but I have another sponsor to touch on, but let's do one more first.
Right. Cool. This one's from Brian Naha.
Hello, Dave and Chris. Love the podcast. Great work. My question today is for Matt. Matt, once iOS 6 is released and we have the ability to upload files to Mobile Safari, do we really have a need for a WordPress app? Wouldn't it be easier just to have a mobile version of responsive backend to WordPress?
Okay, so he's asking kind of a question I have as well. What's up with the admin section? What's going on there? Especially given the whole mobile setup and now that you can actually upload from phones and stuff now.
I think the answer, even post iOS 6, is we need both. We need to continue to make the admin. There's been some big strides there recently, but we need to do a lot more to make the admin fully responsive. So whether you're using it on a phone, a tablet, a little screen, a big screen, it just works. And the beauty of that is because it is the web, all your plugins hook in, everything like that. But there are certain capabilities afforded in the native apps that are just tough to match. You can often make them more performant. You can cache things so they work offline. You get direct access to the camera, the contacts, to the voice if you want to record something, to video. You have the ability to do push notifications, which I think is really, really interesting for WordPress going forward. So There's just a number of capabilities afforded by working with the platform directly. And WordPress has always tried to be at the bleeding edge of that. From a very early on, being an early proponent and adopter of web standards, we we were saying, okay, what's sort of the bleeding edge of what we can do on this particular platform? You know, at the time it was Firefox was really pushing the envelope of web development. And like, okay, well, let's do the coolest thing we can possibly do on there and then figure the rest out. And that's our approach to any of these platforms. I mean, we have a Windows 8 app. we're on every single thing. And that's nice. Just, you know, when you take it down, our job isn't to be a PHP and MySQL-based blogging system or only a CMS or something like that. I mean, like you said earlier, we have a mission, which is to democratize publishing, which means you need to be where the people are, even if that's a BlackBerry.
Right. So different capabilities. It's not just uploading. There's lots of different stuff there. I suppose it's just up to you guys to I don't know, to draw the line and figure out like what is the native app for? What's it going to do? And what's the admin going to do? You know, like it may not be on your roadmap at all to have turning on and off plugins even be possible through the mobile, the native app. You know?
And if you notice, there's something in the latest version of the mobile apps on iPhone and iPad that actually has a link to your dashboard. So you'll see that we're starting to bring them more and more closely together.
Cool. I had a strong thought there for a minute, and then it just disappeared on me. It was good. God, you guys, it was so good. No, I remember what it is. Because Matt was saying how they're an early they're an early adopter of web standards, which is really true, and I almost don't get enough credit for that, really, cuz you know, I'm not a totally old school, but I'm not a newbie in the web dev world either, and I feel like a lot of people my age they're like, "Oh, I remember back in the day designing with tables." I'm like, "No, I don't remember that really, because by the time I picked up WordPress themes, they were all CSS based.
You're such a youngster.
I guess you're younger than me. Come on. You're not even 30 yet, are you?
I did my single pixel gift days. Paid my dues.
Yeah. You're both younger and older than me. Okay. So Environments for Humans, they're not an every other sponsor on Shop Talk Show. They're an every show sponsor. Thanks, guys. You're the best. They do lots and lots of conferences. A lot of them are online. In fact, they have a WordPress one, although I shouldn't even be talking about it because it was like a couple months ago and they only do that one once a year called the WP Summit. But they do... I guess the ones we should talk about are these ones coming up in December in Hawaii. Both me and Dave have never been to Hawaii. At least I haven't. I believe you said that, right? It's in Hawaii. I'm totally excited about it. It's called In Control Conference. So incontrolconference.com. And it runs back-to-back with the CSS DevConf, both in Honolulu. Use the coupon code SHOPTALK to get $100 off of going to that conference. But it's going to be fun. It's, you know, it's a designy, webby, buildy. It's one of my favorite conferences, and it's great that it's going to be in Hawaii, so we get to get away in December and stuff. Me and Dave are going to wear coconut bras. That's all I got.
It's going to be good. Did you mention the coupon? Use the code SHOPTALK for $100 off In Control. Yeah.
So, where were you? Did you go to the bathroom there for a minute?
I started thinking about a sandbox.
We got some more good WordPress questions here. Let's get a few more, shall we?
All right, here we go. This is from Brent Shepard.
Hi, Matt. Brent Shepard here from Australia. You mentioned in your latest State of the Word that WordPress is becoming an app engine. Could you share some ideas for apps you hope to see built on WordPress?
Ooh, I like this question. It's so, Matt, you've said in the past that Google is becoming an app engine, and with its custom post types and all that, it's definitely able to do that. What kind of things do you want to see WordPress doing?
So, personally, some of the applications I've been most interested in are... any kind of web app, well, I should rewind. There's a lot of things that people currently build custom software for with data that would be easily represented in WordPress's native data structures. So like if you're a real estate agent, like, and you have houses and listings and apartments for rent, for sale, like that's data that's very easy to represent inside of WordPress. If you're managing, like I love vinyl. If you're managing your vinyl collection, You know, you have records with artists and years and categories and guest artists and all those. I mean, very easy to represent inside of WordPress data structures. So anything that looks like that, I think it would be cool to build through and on top of WordPress. And we're seeing more and more plugins and apps starting to do that. It's level one. Level two is if you understand and you know and you're comfortable developing for WordPress, you probably will find its sort of frameworks for user authentication, for parsing and dealing with text, for security around nonces and, you know, sanitizing HTML to be very useful to use when you're building another application. So what you can do is use WordPress, but not even use those data structures at all, but just kind of use its application framework, what we use to build WordPress, and just sort of borrow those functions for your own thing. And you can build something that doesn't even use the WordPress post table, for example, which is kind of our kind of the central hub of everything within WordPress. And then third level, there is no third level.
Well, user auth is a big one, right? You get a login thing. There's all this stuff that will, you know, forgot email, passwords. You can set permissions on users. So any app that needs a kind of freebie, you know, login system, you get with WordPress too.
I think third level is you achieve nirvana.
I'm talking about the band.
Oh, nice. You don't have a sound effect for that?
That was a DIY.
I don't. I just have this one.
Dang.
That's all I got.
We'll do a musical recommendation interlude. One of my favorite pianists in the world is this jazz musician called Robert Glasper. And he has a band called the Robert Glasper Experiment, and they do an amazing cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, Googling it.
I'll find that.
Awesome. Okay. That's going to be in the show notes. Okay.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Oh, dude, that guy looks awesome. On the left on robertglasper.com, that's the coolest haircut I've ever seen.
That's Casey Benjamin.
Okay. Casey Benjamin, I'm a fan of you. I'm going to pick one out here. Here's a good one. Corey Denning says, I'm a freelance developer designer about to take on my first client. WordPress will be our CMS. What should I be aware of in terms of providing security for my client's site? How can I help protect them against hacks? How do most web shops handle this issue? My fear is that client site could be hacked in the future, lose their business, they'll go bankrupt, they'll sue me into oblivion, etc., etc. Wow, Corey, you're really worried about this. My specialty is the front end, so security is not my forte. I find that's pretty common. That's me too. You know, I'm like, I can make WordPress do lots of fancy stuff, but I'm not so good on the server stuff. But what should I be concerned about? What should we tell Corey?
Sure. The cool thing is by using WordPress, you get a lot of security stuff for free. Now, there's just two things that you need to do. One, set everyone up with strong passwords. Don't use like hi mom as your password. Great. Now everyone knows my password.
Hacking right now.
Two, I would say, is to keep WordPress up to date. We, as an open source project, we're very transparent with our security updates, meaning that we get updates out there as soon as possible, as soon as we know there's a problem. There is no such thing as 100% secure software. If you could spend more money and have more secure software, then Windows would be the best, most secure operating system in the world. Everyone has problems. It's how they respond to it. And so you should assume that at some point there will be an update to WordPress, which is relevant for the security of your client, and it's your responsibility for them to be updated. Now, a lot of the web hosts now will do automatic updating. So DreamHost, Bluehost.
And do they really? That's great. Even at the risk of like, what if it breaks their site or something? That just doesn't happen very often anymore.
Oh, I've been pushing them really hard on this. So if you do a one-click install on one of those hosts, and there's probably more coming down, they'll also update the site for you, which is really nice. If it's a high-end site, like if it's someone who's a high-end client, they don't mind spending a little bit extra money, Automattic has a product called Vault Press, V-A-U-L-T Press.
Heck yeah, I use it on all my stuff.
Oh, cool. And basically what that is, it's a real-time backup engine. So even if something goes wrong, there's an up to the, you know, second backup of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it security scans everything. So if you do get hacked, they'll let you know, they'll notify you. It pushes live updates to your blog, actually. So let's say you don't upgrade, it'll sort of push a hot fix to your site. So even if you're on vacation in Hawaii at an awesome CSS conference, all your sites are secure. And then if something does happen, of course, their support team will help you fix it.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. That's the number one reason I use it, is the security thing. So it like scans and sees if a file has like, you know, some crazy Base64 stuff in it or whatever. You get a big old red icon on your WordPress bar at the top. It's like, something's wrong, dude. You should check it out. I really need to throw this out there. I need to get an email when that happens. I don't know what the deal is, but you don't get an email notification. I know not everybody likes that, but I'm an email kind of guy. And it would be nice if Vault Press would tell me that. Just throwing that out there.
You should. Have you had any problems recently and you didn't get a notification?
Not super duper recently. So maybe it's like in there now, but I'm pretty sure it didn't used to be. At least the last time I had a little mini security issue, which was completely solved by Vault Press, by the way. I learned of it through Vault Press and I fixed it through Vault Press. But I didn't get an email.
I'll hack your site and we'll see if it picks it up.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to unnecessarily worry people. If you're saying it delivers emails, then maybe it's just something with my installer. Spammed or something. Okay. What was I going to do? Anything else about that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, maybe if it's your first client, get one that doesn't have enough money to sue you. I don't know. Just, there's options. Or pick the one who doesn't look like he's going to sue you. I don't know.
I've never heard of that happening.
Yeah, that's true. All clients sue all the time. So
resources. I'm going to throw out another WordPress link here. Build.codepoet.com is just like a list of like vetted resources that make, you know, are just, I don't know, good WordPress resources to check out. And one of them in there recently, as I subscribe to it now, was a post about walking down WordPress. There's a book. So if you want to, apparently it's a good book because it's on CodePoet. I'm just giving Corey that advice. You know, maybe you want to check out that book. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Cool.
Let's do another one.
Okay. This next question is from Bram Dehan, and I think his name is ultra powerful. But he has a question for Matt, and he said, "I read your Culture of Distraction article. How does he stay focused himself? So how do you stay focused, Matt? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Culture of Distraction article."
Wow, there's a lot there. So there's basically the idea is that all this technology that we're creating, some of which WordPress is creating, is fundamentally interruptive. And if you look at sites like Twitter or Facebook, they're business models are predicated on, you know, saying, hey, there's something cool going on over here and getting you to spend more and more time on their sites, at which time, you know, you'll also be exposed to advertising and marketing and brands and everything like that. And so, there's an acceleration of addictiveness. So we're getting better at knowing, you know, they even do like fMRI scans, like knowing which parts of your brain light up when certain things happen. And so crafting messages, crafting technologies, crafting interfaces to basically become more fun on the good side, but more essentially addictive on the flip side. It's a double-edged sword. So that makes it harder and harder to get anything done. So my personal habits there, some of which are well-cultivated and which I'm trying to cultivate, is one to have a few routines. So one thing I found, well, first you have to be self-aware. So just keep an eye on yourself. And at the end of a day, if you take an honest look back and say, did I get everything that was most important to get accomplished that day accomplished? And if so, what did you do that worked well? If not, what did you do that didn't work so well? some things I found for my own life is if I look at Twitter before I get out of bed in the morning, like, you know, when you wake up, you grab the phone, that just sets me on like a day of unproductivity.
Does it really?
Later. Yeah, it's something just about putting the brain in more of that short attention span versus long attention span. I don't know a technical term for that, but I find that it's just more difficult for me to focus the rest of the day if that's the first thing I do. So what I try to do first thing in the morning is read something longer than 1,000 or 2 words, be it a chapter or two in a book, a long article on Instapaper, although, you know, I kind of avoid Instapaper because it's very tempting when I have that iPad to click over to Tweetbot or something like that. Yeah, long things.
That's two, great.
So I try to eat as soon as I get up in the morning and get some protein right away. Sort of sets your brain off. And I started doing just a very small amount of exercise in the morning. And not like I'm not a crazy fitness person or anything like that. It just, I had this thought, or someone told me, they were like, you know, before in the morning, before you take a shower, just do like 2 push-ups. Like everyone has time to do 2 push-ups, no matter how late you are for the meeting or whatever it is. And for me, that's just kind of grown. You know, it started being 5 and then it started being 10. And it only takes like 30 seconds or a minute. So you can literally, you can never make an excuse not to do it. But it's nice. Sort of builds up it's a habit that starts for the day. And I think that habits are incredibly, positive and negative habits are incredibly important to be self-aware of and to optimize around. But I struggle just like anyone else. You know, I have lots of emails in my inbox I need to reply to. I find that if I have multiple monitors going, I'm more likely to be distracted, so I prefer using one. I got an app for my Mac called Quiet, which sort of blacks out the screen except for one thing that you focus on. It's just you need to find it's different for every person. I find something that works well for me when I really need to focus in, especially for writing or coding, is listening to the same song on repeat.
Really? Will you be my guru? You have all the good tricks.
How much do you charge for guru?
Source, it's all. But
so.
Yeah, just me, for whatever reason, I love music. Like, I'm really passionate about music. If I'm listening to random mixes or something that I haven't heard before, my brain kind of goes to it. But if it's something I know really well, like I can hum along, I can sing along with it just over and over and over again, for some reason that puts part of my brain in like a mode and allows the rest to focus on whatever the task is at hand.
That's great.
Try it out.
Matt has a tag of Culture of Destruction on ma.tt, so apparently that's for you. Like, this is an ongoing thought for you, I guess. You could follow that tag. I'm gonna. Okay. Let's wrap it up. How about that?
Yeah, hey? No, we can wrap it up for sure. Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show. We here at Shop Talk love WordPress. We actually use it, so thanks so much for everything you've done, getting all our careers going. But how can people follow you, tweet at you, read your blog, and all that?
Sure. So like we said earlier, my blog is ma.tt. My Twitter is @photomat. And, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably passionate and geeky about these things the same way that I am and that WordPress folks are. So if you want to get involved with WordPress, go to make.wordpress.org. It's sort of our new hub for getting involved on the code side, the themes, documentation, support, accessibility, pretty much everything. And if you're super passionate about this stuff, you love doing it, check out Automatic, AUTOMATTIC. We are hiring as fast as we can. And we're always looking for smart, passionate people who like working hard and playing hard to join the tribe.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much again. And thanks to everyone who came out and listened. There was quite a few people here listening live. And yeah, thanks for everyone in the chat room. You guys like to check our facts and stuff like that. So that's we really appreciate that. And be sure to follow us at Shop Talk Show on Twitter. The avatar has changed to a beautiful orange wrench. So
look at that. WordPress feeds my kids. Thanks, Matt. That's a nice way to end it, isn't it?
Oh, that's perfect. I can't do any better. Chris?
shoptalkshow.com.